If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
720 WGN, but of course he was. He was home alone. And Corey Remora is with us. So I won't be alone.
Are you? Aw, hey, yeah. John, how are you?
Fine. What do you say we take the kid and go out and do some ice skating?
Let's do it. I looked at it. It only feels like 1 degree outside right now.
It is. It is. And I'm... You usually go ice skating on Wednesday nights?
We do. We do at Maggie Daly Park. The ice ribbon is so much fun. But, yeah, it was a little too cold tonight.
Just a bit. Just a bit. I think we got a wind chill of one now. And I heard things like, you know, 20 below zero wind chill. I'm like, they can't be ice skating in weather like this.
No.
You're supposed to go to the warming house. Yeah, you're supposed to go to the warming house or whatever it is, right? Right.
Exactly. Yeah, somewhere warm, not out on an ice ribbon.
No, no. So, you know, the everlasting love affair between moviegoers and Home Alone seems to go on unabated. You mention it to anyone, and immediately they have a reference. They know what the movie's about. And you had the opportunity of talking to and going around with Jacqueline Baker Buxbaum, I believe is the way you say her name, who was a location manager for Home Alone. So can you...
Yeah.
And this is a great article in the Chicago Tribune, Vintage Chicago Tribune. So... Can you give us sort of a thumbnail, A, what a location manager does, and two, what movies and where she went in and around Chicago to put these films together?
Yeah, absolutely. Jackie actually got in touch with me. This sounds like the coolest job ever. She kind of worked her way up. She had started out in commercials and then worked on the TV series Crime Story.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of... Yeah, which was so good. And she kind of went from one person to another, had really good experiences, and was connected with John Hughes, and they just hit it off. And so her first movie working with him was Uncle Buck, which came out, I believe, the year before Home Alone. Mm. And so she told me that she thought John Hughes was kind of a homebody, and so his desire really was to film here in Chicago, not to go out to L.A. or do it on a soundstage. He wanted actual locations. And so, spoiler alert a little bit, but while she was out scouting locations for Uncle Buck, she came across this iconic house that we all know today as the Home Alone house.
Yeah. Well, that's not spoiler alert. We've all seen it. It's been in the news. It has its own, I don't know, it probably has its own... website for, I'm kidding, but I mean, no, it's like, it's still there.
Right,
it's still there. People go to get a picture taken with it. It's just the perfect house and the perfect location for the perfect film at the perfect time. But, they do sort of go heavy on the North Shore. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yes. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because John Hughes lived in Lake Forest.
Yeah.
And so his idea of, you know, the right locations, and Jackie told me, you know, initially when they were looking for this house, they were thinking more of like an Oak Park house, like
right.
a frame house
yep.
with a porch. And she's like, nah, I don't think that's the look that you want. So to their credit, they were thinking away from the North Shore, and she pulled them back to the North Shore.
Yeah, they do. What did they do? They did Winnetka. They do, what else did they do in the North Shore? Or was that just it? Was there any Evanston?
No, you're right. Yes, Evanston, Wilmette.
Wilmette,
I mean,
right, yeah.
If you're driving anywhere from Evanston on up to Winnetka, there's a chance that there is a house or a storefront or a building that's been featured in a John Hughes movie
yes.
close by. Seriously, there are that many.
You know, I was watching the movie again, looking forward to our conversation, and, you know, what you take away from a film years later can be a lot different than what you did the first time. The first time was like, oh my God, this is hysterical. Look at what he's doing to these guys who think there's burglars, and they're burglars, and he's just home alone. And this time I'm like, this family is filthy rich. They are taking their entire family to Paris, and the parents are like, do you feel guilty that we're sitting in first class while the kids are in coach? And I'm like, holy mackerel. Obviously that's been the way the movie's always been, but I'm like, wow, no wonder it's taking place in the North Shore. I mean,
Mr. McAllister was,
you know, it's
loaded.
Funny you mention that, Jim.
Go ahead.
Yes. It's funny you mention that, because I think last year somebody hit on that topic.
Oh, really?
And there was a story that came out, that was trying to pinpoint, like, how much money would the parents have to make to afford that house and to be able to live on the North Shore to send that many people to Paris for Christmas. Yeah.
Exactly. The entire family to Paris for Christmas, including two round-trip first-class seats. Not cheap, you know? And you think if you had made that much money, you wouldn't have forgotten a kid at home. But anyway, that would be... that would be then, you know, we wouldn't have the movie. But it was just...
There you go.
It was just a wacky thing. I'm like, man, you know, I couldn't afford that today. That's unbelievable. But that was only one of that house at, on that location, the one that we're talking, I think it's 671 Lincoln Avenue in Winnetka. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's just one.
That's right.
That's just one of the locations that they used, for the filming of, Home Alone. And some of the things that are in your article, I just love, because for me, I've always loved movies, and I've always loved learning how people make movies and what's involved in it, and how it is, everything is not what you see, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, truly, what you're looking at is really not what you're looking at. And you talk in the talk, you write in the article about... the scenes that are inside the house.
Yeah.
And they're not inside a house.
No. Dun, dun, dun. This is something very cool for a location manager. Right.
So tell the story of what we're actually looking at when we see the inside of the house.
When you're going inside the house, Jackie Buxbaum, who I talked to, she calls it a cut and paste.
Yes.
You see somebody walk inside the house, and then
cut. They're
inside the house.
Right.
The inside of the house, was at Nutria West High School. Which was vacant at the time. And so in the school gym, they recreated the entire house.
Get that?
So when you see... Isn't that wild?
Yeah, they built the entire house inside New Trier's gym.
Yes. So that's why, if you've always wondered what it looks like on the inside of the Home Alone house, it looks nothing like that.
And then they also used the gym as a soundstage. They built the interior. There was a pool that happened to be there that they used for a water scene when the basement gets flooded. That's the magic of movie making, I'll tell you. We're doing more with Corey Rumore when we come back on 720 WGN. And an icon was born. 720 WGN with John Landecker. Thanks for tuning in. It's 8:49. We're talking to Corey Rumore from the Chicago Tribune. He has a vintage Chicago Tribune article about location shooting for Home Alone and some other films that were shot in Chicago, and the locations chosen by Jacqueline Baker Buxman, who is obviously a location manager. And it says here, want to drive past the Home Alone house or the church? a tour of 12 filming locations around Chicago. And, you know, that story we told about the gymnasium being turned into the inside of the house for the film.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of other great movie-making minutia in your article about how this is done. About talk a little bit about how, well, first of all, you have to have cooperation from, well, let's see, the owners of the house, for instance, the neighborhood, city officials. I mean, you just don't roll up there and go, action, right?
Exactly right. Exactly. And Jackie told me it just was a perfect situation. Yeah. If there ever could be, like you said, you're asking a lot of a neighborhood, and the shoot ended up, it was in early 1990 and the movie came out later in 1990. She said, you know, it took more days to film it than they had expected. So as it turned out, like, they needed the neighbors to do very specific things. One of the most iconic scenes from the movie is toward the end when it starts snowing. And Jackie told me that there was a thing on set that said, hey, when we get a snowy day, we are dropping all of our plans and we're shooting that scene.
Yeah.
And she told me that that day finally arrived on Valentine's Day. It started to snow, and so she said it was her job to get there really early in the morning and make sure nobody in the neighborhood, you know, walked around outside or did it, anything they weren't supposed to do, because it was supposed to be freshly fallen snow that hadn't been bothered,
right.
You know, and the truck pulls up and his mom gets out of the truck. So, she said that that was, you know, they were all waiting for that day to happen. And when it did, it was go time.
because you couldn't have suddenly footprints in the snow leading up to the house or around the neighborhood or going down the sidewalk or cars pulling out or, you know, somebody's footprints on the sidewalk or tire tracks that had just gone by in the street, because it was supposed to be like virgin snow. I mean, that's what makes the scene really work, is because it's so pristine. If you could imagine, you know, if it went the other way and there were, like, you know, I don't know, things that make snow dirty, like car exhaust or whatever. I mean, that wouldn't have the same impact at all. But it goes to show you that, you know, when your article, like, just, and this is the thing I love about movie making, it goes to show you the extent that these people go to try to control uncontrollable situations and take advantage of moments when they arrive, because they're only there for a certain amount of time. They had to do that right then, right there at that moment, because, you know, you can't leave snow sitting on the ground all day without somebody walking on it. Right?
Right. So, and we talked a lot about, you know, with CGI. Sure, you could do a CGI thing. And I know that's really advanced since Home Alone came out. But you're right. It's not the same effect as actual snow coming down, first thing in the morning, creating this kind of magical scene. Something else that Jackie told me she doesn't think could ever happen again is the scene of the family rushing through O'Hare Airport, through Terminal 3.
Yeah.
She said, you know, that was in the day. She's like, you got to remember, it was in the days before TSA, so security wasn't as tight. Anybody could be walking around the airport at the time. And she said, here, we brought in hundreds of extras, but they did not shut down the terminal when they were filming that scene. So there are actual people trying to get on flights, you know, around them. So, yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine how that would possibly work today.
I guess I missed that part. There are actual, they were there, and people were actually, the airport. Port O'Hare was actually functioning as O'Hare, and people were arriving and they were getting on their flights, and these people are running up and down the terminal screaming at each other. I mean, that's got to be
that wild. And she said, she said they worked with American Airlines. They secured a gate. They got a plane at the gate so they could film things on the plane. Mm-hmm. But yes, the airport is functioning all around them while they were doing that shoot. I think they did that shoot in like April of 1990. So she's like, I don't think that could ever happen again, the way that they did it back then. She also told me, this was a little wild too, another movie that she was on that she doesn't think this will ever happen again. She was location manager for Natural Born Killers.
Oh, wow.
And they were at Stateville Prison downstate. And oh, she's like, there were actual inmates. You know, here we had, I think it was Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
And a couple other major actors going through a working prison. So between a working airport and a working prison, I don't think those are things that could happen, anytime today.
And it's not just the actors walking through these locations. It's everything that goes with the actors, the lighting and the sound and the camera and the director. And, you know, there's this thing that's called continuity in movie making. So, like, say you're shooting out at O'Hare. They're shooting this scene at the gate. And, you know, they don't do it in one take. And they do it from multiple angles. And everything in all of those takes and angles has to match. If there's somebody, like, in a red hat standing behind a main character, and you suddenly go to, I don't know, a wide shot of what allegedly is exactly the same scene, that person with that red hat's got to be there. Otherwise, you're going to go, what happened to that? Wait a minute, that doesn't look right. You know? I mean, all of that stuff has to match up. I suppose you could play a game now that we know that was actually, that O'Hare was operating, and go back and look at those scenes and see if there's some, you know, points where the continuity didn't make it, but, you know, that's obviously that's obviously nitpicking, but, you know, it's a fun thing to do.
Oh, but I love that, though.
Yeah, that's in your article, in fact, speaking of continuity, there's a thing in the article where you start out about when Harry met Sally, right?
Yes.
Where, and that's what I'm talking about. So what was that about?
Yes. So Jackie was just telling me, you know, when you are born and raised in and around the city, you know the city well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so when Harry met Sally, they get in the car supposedly at the University of Chicago, and they're driving to New York. But Jackie mentioned in when Harry met Sally, they're driving north on Lakeshore Drive, which anybody who knows the city knows that is not the right direction. But it was a beautiful shot. She's like, you know, you got the Hancock Building in the background, you've got Lakeshore Drive. It looks beautiful. But she used that to say, like, Chicagoans expect authenticity. And I think that's part of the reason Home Alone works so well, because you think of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. None of it was filmed in Chicago, even though a lot of people associate it with the city because, you know, Clark Griswold wears a Blackhawks jersey and a Bears hat.
Yeah. We were just talking about that movie last night. Yeah. But none of that. But you wouldn't. I mean, that Harry Met Sally example would be only acknowledged by somebody who actually knew what they were looking at in the context of Chicago. You know, movie goers who've never been here are just taking it at face value. You know.
Absolutely.
It's got to be what it is. But that's why nothing is ever what it seems when you're looking at movies.
Yes.
I mean, nothing. Well, I suppose maybe once in a while. But just generally speaking, it's all fake. They're putting on a show.
Yes.
And that's their job. Anyway, you know, great to talk to you again, Corey. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh.
Love your...
Of course, by the way... It's always great to talk with you.
Wait a minute. Yeah. How do we get the vintage Chicago Tribune delivered to our inbox?
Oh, thanks, Judd. You go to chicagotribune.com/newsletters and sign up for the one that says Vintage Chicago Tribune, and it comes out every Thursday afternoon. I talk about something different every week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for being with us, Corey.
Thanks, John.
Talk to you later. Corey Remore from the Chicago Tribune.